1515 app proudly presents your wrestling roundtables, Raw, Bad, and Ugly. I almost messed that up. This is why it's Phil's job. Right. Speaking of which, today, my boy Sterl's not with us, but I got my other boy, my other homeboy from GTS coming in, EJ the King.
What it do?
All right, man. So, Raw. Yeah, it took place in Des Moines. I'm pausing because I don't have any fun facts about Des Moines. I just don't.
Seth Rollins from there. That's all I know.
Okay, so there we go. I believe I went to a wrestling show in Des Moines. I want to say my sister lived in Des Moines for a little bit. I could be wrong.
How far is that from Chicago?
I want to say that's about a four-hour drive. Pretty much anything that is going to be a Iowa drive is going to be about 4 hours, I want to say. Unless you're going deep into Iowa. They're serious about their football there.
Nobody wants to go out deep into Iowa.
Right, that doesn't even sound fun. Like, no, I'm straight. You live deep in Iowa? That's all right, girl. I'm straight. All right, but nonetheless, they took place in Des Moines, Iowa. So, I'm going to talk about my match to watch for this week.
I could have got my Sterl on and brought you in, man.
Oh, you okay, go ahead. I'm going to let you do it, though. Go ahead.
The Raw, the Bad, Ugly, before we get into that, got a match to watch for?
Yo, his Sterling present was spot on. That was dope. We should have just not told anybody he wasn't here. They're no different. All right. I do have a match to watch for. My match to watch for originally, you know, I'm going to split it. I'm going to give it to two because I never give 205 live props. And, you know, Hideo Itami versus Roderick Strong was good, man. For the time that they gave it, it was really good. So for me, that's the one that I got to give a match to watch for. But also, earlier today, I had the opportunity to watch in its entirety Hiroshi Tanahashi. Oh, wow. I said Hiroshi Tanahashi. My bad. Kazuchika Okada and Hirooki Goto against Evil and Sonata. For anybody who watches New Japan, you know that there's a big title match coming up with Sonata and Okada. And it's supposed to be the thing that gets Sonata taken seriously in the singles division. But in this match, them all together, it was amazing to see, because Goto and Okada don't really team together. So seeing them work together was insane. They almost won the belt. But nonetheless, Evil and Sonata won, and I'm looking forward to this title match later this weekend at New Beginnings Osaka. So that's something that I'll be talking about on RBU probably for the next couple weeks, because it's going to be a pretty big pay-per-view.
Dig that.
All right.
GTS, that is Jay Fields' match to watch for 205 live match.
Ah, look at that. We had to show, see, we're showing 205 some love when they do right. Speaking of which, I will just kick off my news and rumors this way, and I want to kind of get your take on it, EJ.
We did the same thing.
Okay, dope. They're going to get a double dose. It's all right. So this is going to be people's way to see that you need to watch, or I'm sorry, you need to listen to GTS. Gotta listen to GTS. Great minds think alike. So, I'm just gonna say this. You guys must have talked about Vince stepping away from 205 Live and kind of giving Triple H the keys.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I don't know if he asked you this question, because obviously I haven't heard GTS yet, but do you think this is kind of Vince's test for Triple H to say, okay, let's see what you could do?
Put it that way, I can completely see it going in that way, because they said something about the it's 2 weeks ago he actually gave him the keys to 205 Live, correct?
Right.
And is that exactly when the tournament idea actually started?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. See, I was unaware, I guess, until I watched Raw that, you know, Rockstar Spud, or aka Drake Maverick, you know, pretty much made his appearance, and that's when he was the general manager. So I didn't know anything about that until Monday. And then, like I said, once they said the tournament's announced, they said it happened 2 weeks ago. And like I said, he's pretty much, Vince McMahon gave Triple H the keys 2 weeks ago to let you know why these new ideas are pretty much growing now. But I can definitely see it as a test, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. I want to see if it's actually a test to see, you know, what he can do. To me, and to everybody else, I assume that NXT was the test. But let's see if this is something more, and if at this point, it kind of seems to me behind the scenes with them signing Jeremy Borish from TNA, or, well, Impact Wrestling, it seems to me like he's building people to that he trusts to take over NXT, in a sense, and be the masterminds behind it, while at the same time, we see him maybe go over to handle more on Raw and SmackDown, and maybe that all has to do with the whole XFL thing. We'll see.
Hopefully.
We shall, right? Like, we're not going to do like Sterling and wish bad things upon people. I'm just going to say, maybe Vince needs to back off. Deal with
maybe
the football.
Maybe he needs to be occupied with something else just for a little while, you know, while we're, something else is going on over here, you know? That's all we want. We just want you to be occupied. We don't want you to die or anything.
Exactly. Find something else to do. All right. So besides that, my other news and rumors, you probably heard about Booker T basically saying that he's going to put hands on Corey Graves if he sees him. And that all goes back to, or not goes back to, that goes to Coach being rehired, I guess, and put on Raw. He's blaming Corey Graves for the fact that he's not on Raw anymore. But I don't know, EJ. You've heard me complain about Booker T, especially on the iHeart Wrestling page. Shout out iHeart Wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't think Corey Graves was the reason. You just weren't doing a good job, bud.
I mean, that's what we always talk about as well on the iHeart Wrestling page. Once again, shout out plug. But we also talk amongst ourselves when we're together watching wrestling. It's like Booker T is good and bad in both ways. Like, he's so bad that it's funny and hilarious and entertaining because you're like, all right, Booker, gonna start talking, watch him stumble, or watch him say something that don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, but at the same time, it takes away, like, aspect of the match, you know, because he's going off base sometimes or saying something so stupid. But also, it's entertaining to see Corey Graves check him on the mic, you know, live TV.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it's kind of give and take. Yeah, I would like a better seat for that commentary, but at the same time, like, it's entertaining as hell when sometimes Raw is boring, you know?
Right. And that's the thing. I think it's a time and a place, and because it's kind of, you know, it's like at the oddest times he goes off on these tangents where you're like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, what? Like, if I could just pull up all the times where I've been pissed off at this dude, and I think he was my ugly once. I was just so mad. So, and I hate to say this, dude, because I respect Booker T and what he's done. It just, I don't think that Corey Graves got you fired, bro. I think you just didn't do the great job on this run. Not to say he can't do a good job, it's just this time around, it needs to be a little break, a little separation. You continue to be an ambassador. We'll call you when we need you.
Booker going to like, man, in order to not lose this match, he has to win. I'm like, duh.
Right, right, you're like, Booker, you got to stop this, man. This is nonsense.
Yeah.
All Japan Pro Wrestling, one of my favorite promotions when I was growing up. They're actually starting their own network as well. And on demand, I believe it's going to have some of the archived shows. However, Japan's a little bit different. When they show wrestling on TV, it's broadcast kind of like ESPN. So to get the TV show, they actually would have to buy their own TV shows to be able to or work out a deal with the networks that aired it to be able to show it. So think of it as if WWE couldn't put Raw on the network ever. Like, they didn't have those archive Raws, right? That's basically the situation that All Japan's kind of in. So it's going to be interesting to see what ends up happening, what's on there, what they can show, or if it's just going to be all new stuff from this point on. The reason why I'm bringing that up is because there are a lot of, because of all the new networks and on-demand networks that are starting with a lot of the Japanese promotions, what's ended up happening is a lot of guys who used to post wrestling matches, one of my favorite was a Real Hero. He's on, like, I think he was on YouTube for a while, so they started pulling all of his content or matches that he uploaded. And then he was also on Daily Motion. I know you probably seen me post matches from Daily Motion. A lot of those guys are pulling all their stuff back because they know what's coming is that they're going to get that, you know, erased or their whole profile erased. So that's the kind of thing that sucks a little bit. I mean, I always like to promote a match and say, hey, if you like that guy, you know, keep watching their stuff, pay for it, but here's a preview. And so it's going to be kind of on the promotions to put out the previews of these matches and get people more interested, because I think a lot of the full matches are going to get pulled.
Oh, man.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, it's business. Business is business. It is what it is. Last but not least, this weekend at my home promotion here in Chicago, AAW, the show actually took place in LaSalle, which is about, I want to say, like 20 minutes from St. Louis. So they kind of run this whole Midwest area. But in AAW, ACH beat Rey Fénix from, you probably know him from Lucha Underground. He beat him for the AAW world title. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there, because at the last show that I actually went to that we talked about, the next championship shot goes to Matt Riddle. And the match that ACH and Matt Riddle had live that I was at was pretty good. So I'm going to be interested in seeing who wins that match, if they build around that match being kind of like the storyline for the rest of the year or whatnot. AEW is pretty dope. I don't know if Jay Fields has talked about it before on any of his matches to watch for, but it's one that me and him kind of talk back and forth. So anybody interested in a new promotion, AEW?
Dang it.
All right, let's go ahead and get into these quick hits before we get into our Raw Bad and Ugly. So, Raw in Des Moines this weekend. We started out with Roman Reigns defeating Bray Wyatt. Go figure. To qualify for the Men's Elimination Chamber match. Finn Balor and Carl Anderson defeated The Revival. Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali defeated Drew Gulak and Tony Nese. It was a good preview to what we're going to see in the Cruiserweight Tournament. Raw General Manager Kurt Angle announced that the competitors for the Women's Elimination Chamber match, he kind of messed up a couple times.
Of course he did.
I think it's a thing now, dude. I think that's just what he does. It happens way too often. Asuka defeated Bayley in a match that we probably are going to talk about in our Raw Bad and Ugly. Hint, hint. The Intercontinental Champion Miz defeated Apollo Crews to qualify for the Men's Elimination Chamber. Raw Tag Team Champion Cesaro and Sheamus defeated Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns by disqualification. Nia Jax went against a jobber Vanessa Floyd for no reason whatsoever. Mickie James defeated Sonya Deville. Had some interesting developments with Alexa Bliss. We might end up talking about it. I don't know if it's in your Raw Bad or Ugly, but did you see that segment?
Of course I did. Like, I think they possibly listened to this podcast last week. Got to myself, but okay.
And then, last but not least, Elias pulled out the upset and defeated John Cena and Braun Strowman to earn the number 6 entry position in the Men's Elimination Chamber match, and that was Raw from Des Moines, Iowa. All right, Jay Fields, I'm going to start off with you, sir. Jay Fields, G. Buzz Christo. See, I got Jay Fields on my head because I was talking about the Japanese matches, and now I want to know what he thinks. My bad. The King, EJ, what was your Raw, sir?
I guess it's my cue to say the Raw. I think you kind of muted up for a minute.
Oh, did I? I apologize. EJ, the King, what was your Raw, sir?
My Raw was Asuka versus Bayley. Hot tag or no?
I was going to pause for a second and then tell you that's definitely going to be a hot tag, sir.
All right. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we was blessed with a good match last week between Asuka and Sasha Banks, so it was kind of cool. I also like the backstage dialogue between Sasha and Bayley, kind of teasing, you know, like the match is brewing between them because, you know, Bayley said, I could beat you, so I know I could beat Asuka, you know, things like that, but like, not to take away from the match, though. The match was great. I mean, that's right. A new quality match. Like, something was actually on the line. You know, they out there laying it all out there. That's the best. I would probably say the best I've seen Bayley
in a while.
Over a year. Woo. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen a quality Bayley match. So,
yeah.
The fact that I got that against Asuka, you know, two great competitors. We've seen them fight before, of course, in NXT, but, like, just to revisit that whole rivalry and put on a great match on Raw, because, like, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was a lot of good matches on Raw this Monday. So, you know, that just for that to be my favorite match of Raw, like,
saying something.
You know, yeah, so, but definitely, I mean, you know, nobody's, I mean, I didn't see Bayley winning, but, like, it was a lot of near falls. lot of near falls that Bayley almost got there, and couple roll ups and stuff like that. But like I said, I just love the story they told in that ring. And like I said, backstage started it off, and I actually thought Sasha was gonna play a role in that match, but like maybe that'd be something brewing on later on. I'm patient enough to
right.
find it out. But
I like that. The slow build, and I like the subtleness of if what they're doing is getting Sasha to eventually turn heel. I like the subtlety that they had backstage where she was like, I'm not going to give you any information on how to win. Like, I could beat you. You know what I mean? Like, that was really dope because you're seeing the boss come back, but it's not all out of nowhere like boom. You know, it's like the elimination in the Royal Rumble, and then we got the little pettiness backstage. You know what I mean? And it makes it really dope. But aside from the storyline aspect, the match itself was well put together, and I like also, again, I feel like Triple H maybe has his hands on it because it was very NXT-esque to me to have Asuka shake Bayley's hand, and like that's the only person, if you think about it, go through all the people she's faced. Bayley's the only person she shook their hand. So is it like some kind of underlying thing that they're building to? I hope so. That'd be dope to come back to and be like, you know, if Bayley somehow is the person who beats Asuka or something like that, or, you know, later on down the line beats Asuka, because even if she loses once, it's not going to mean anything per se. You know what I mean? It'll be one of those things we could go back to, like Asuka's always felt, you know, Bayley, he's had a number or something, or like Bayley was going to be the one. So I think if they were building to that, that's so dope.
It's also, you know, Asuka took the belt off of Bayley, so it makes sense even on that aspect.
Ooh, yes, that is a good point. Like, I had to beat you, and, you know, that was my toughest match so far. Like, didn't think about that. Thank you, sir. See, that's why he's EJ the King. all right, so next up, we got our bag. I'm going to let you go ahead.
Okay, my bad.
Yes, sir.
My bad was, I just had my head, I just completely forgot about it. Maybe 1 second.
No, I do this all the time.
I literally had it, but I just got off track. I mean, I had it definitely in my head. Easily. I forgot. My bad is Roman Reigns having to fight two matches in on one night, and the second match, he looked fresher than he looked in the first match. The fact of the matter is, you know, he kicked out his sister Abigail, and that bothered me. You know,
yeah.
I mean, middle of the ring, I get it. I get it. He's Roman Reigns. I get it. But it's the fact that, you know, Bray couldn't get not one kick out of a football tackle. I'm not calling that a spear anymore.
No.
I'm calling it a football tackle. But the fact that, you know, Bray got put out because of that move, and like, I mean, like I said, it was a good match opening up, you know what I'm saying? Because they all, you know, they got good chemistry. So, you know, I was open to viewing that match and seeing what they could do again. But the fact that it ended, the fashion that it ended, you know, give me another near fall. Roman could have did like another spear or something, anything. But, you know, because I hate the burial of what they're doing with Bray Wyatt. But to top it all off, the fact that he came out there refreshed for a tag team match like nothing ever happened earlier that night. This is like building him up to be this super being, and like I said, I'm not going to vent too much on this because our GTW and GTS is about Roman Reigns. And I, you know, so, but it's pretty much eluding you if you want to hear more about that rant, you know, go check it out. But it's just the fact that, you know, I hate how they're just circling, you know, centering the whole process of him building up to fight Brock Lesnar just because to, you know, get past anything that's in front of him and like overcome anything. You wrestle two matches against top quality guys. It ain't like you went against a jobber early.
Right.
Bray Wyatt. You supposed to be walking down there limping, still hurting a little bit, you know? And like I said, I just didn't like, I mean, I love Roman's attitude backstage sometimes, you know, his, you know, backstage segments and besides, you know, actual words, you know, on the mic,
but his book,
it's just how they book him. That's the main thing. And like I said, it could have been my ugly, but I think I let a lot of my steam off when we recorded GTS, so it didn't bother me too bad, but definitely a bad.
Yeah. I mean, and I had an issue with him kicking out of Sister Abigail. I have a problem when they do this with finishers like that they've protected for so long, and then all of a sudden they pick one guy. Like, to me, you can still protect it. Have him reverse it or have it be something he's just never going to be able to hit him with. So then when he finally does, it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this happened. You know what I mean?
I even take a rope break, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just you can't have him kick out like this. Like you said, it's overkill with the superhuman Roman. It's too much. We get it. He's strong. My bad. It's pretty simple. I just don't like the way they use Apollo Crews, man. And I feel like every time he's used in a way that is prominent, I guess you would say, it always gets me pissed off because I know it's not going anywhere. Like, why is he what did he do to earn an Elimination Chamber match? A qualifier match? Who did he beat? No one ever. So why are you putting him in this position? Is he dope? Yes. Should you have waited to bring him up? Definitely. He didn't build a character. He's just a guy. He's a CAW. And I hate to say that, but he's a creator wrestler.
Yes, he is.
It's insane to me that they're like, plug him in here when there's other people they could. I would have been all right with. No, I wouldn't have been all right with Curt Hawkins. It was just whack, dude. Like, I'm like, am I supposed to really believe he has a chance? Like, word? Y'all, really? I'm supposed to believe this?
I said the same exact thing. Like, don't get me wrong, which I hand it to in my Smack Up, I'm on the wrong show. What I hand to in my Raw is that there was a lot of good matches on Raw, and like, that was one of them, but like, nobody saw the outcome, like, thinking that he was actually going to win. So, you know, like, the fact that, you know, it went the way it did, you know, it's kind of like a waste, you know, like, that could have been a match for the IC title or contendership or something, you know, meaningful that we could actually get behind and believe in, because nobody expected him to be in an Elimination Chamber with all those other top guys.
At all. It was nonsense to me. All right, so moving on to our ugly.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you go first, sir. What is your ugly?
My ugly is, it's kind of alluding to next week. It's just the second chance match. It's so stupid to me.
Yeah.
This is your way of fixing the fact that Finn Balor lost to John Cena. But John Cena should have been in the second chance match if you want to do it that way. But you also have Bray in it again, once again to lose again. And you have Apollo Crews to be in it to lose again. I mean, like, you have to look at that lineup and, like, I mean, yeah, Matt Hardy's in it. But, like, who do you actually see coming out of that? And, like, it's like they're trying to fix what they did wrong last week about John Cena beating Finn Balor in the first place, which it should have been the other way around. But it's the fact that you're doing the second chance match just to get that last spot. But the last spot would go to Brock Lesnar.
Exactly.
After Alexa Bliss cut that beautiful promo, and like I said,
shooting.
Yeah, shooting double shots, and that's exactly what we were saying last week on GTW, on GTS. Like, how can this everybody else defend their title? Alexa Bliss defending her title in the Elimination Chamber, but this guy gets to sit at home until April and defend his. And like, it's getting boring and tired of that. But like I said, I just don't like the second chance whole situation. Just say, hey, we fucked up. Something else. I just didn't like it's going to be a fatal four-way between those guys, and it's pretty much leads to the same fact. I mean, you got three faces and one heel in a match, you know, and I know we're not supposed to go out the face-heel scenario, but it's like, you know.
But it's the truth.
It's set up for disaster. It's pretty much set up for disaster that Bray Wyatt's not going to win that match, so why waste his time?
Right.
No. I'm trying to get back on the Bray bandwagon, not necessarily all the way, but like, they're not helping his character at all. Like, it's constantly burying him. Like, we talked about it a year ago, this guy was the WWE champion.
Right.
And now, he's just like an afterthought. And it sucks for him. And this, I can brew into the fact that I really wish they wouldn't let Matt and him touch at all. That would have been a worthy WrestleMania match.
Oh, my God.
I think we would have been patient and waiting for that.
They ruined. So, at the 25th anniversary show, they ruined that. Like, I couldn't believe that was the match they presented in the Manhattan Center. Like, whose idea was this?
That Vinnie Mac.
I mean, was that? I think I talked about it with Sterl on the RBU that week. It was a complete joke. Like, I couldn't believe that happened. Like, this is your this is a money match, and you did. Could it? Was it 5 minutes?
Probably wasn't even 5 minutes, man. Didn't even get a commercial break.
That was nonsense. Why would you do that? Like, I just didn't understand what the thought process behind that was. Especially with, and then they're back to the whole he owns all the broken stuff, so I hope now he gets more hands-on with it. But, you hit the nail on the head for real now it irritates me even more.
Maybe Bray will beat the woken Matt Hardy and broken Matt Hardy will beat Bray. I don't know. Stupid shit. I don't know. That's
I'm just waiting. Look, until, like I told you guys, until Brother Nero comes back and Bray converts Bo Dallas, I don't care. That's what I want to see.
Exactly. I would love that. Money match.
That's a money match. So we still got hope for a money match out of them. And they got to book Bray better, man. He doesn't deserve what they're doing. He's out there busting his butt. It's messed up.
That was only our last podcast. Y'all went in about Bray Wyatt and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly got my wheels back turning. Like, I want to believe in Bray. That was our hashtag when we first started GTS. Better for Bray. You know what I'm saying? So they got to do better for Bray. So maybe they start getting this back on if we get behind it. But it's like, once you try to get behind it, they do something stupid.
Right. There's a meme, or it's either a meme or something I saw on Instagram. Anyway, with his stats for winning matches, and it's insane. And I remember in the beginning when people were questioning that, there was stuff coming out like, "Well, it's because Bray's an attraction." I'm like, "What the hell? No, he's a professional wrestler. Get off that shit."
Yeah.
Attraction?
Undertaker was an attraction, if you want to put it in that way, but Undertaker wasn't losing to the caliber of what Bray is.
Exactly. And not losing important matches to be, like, the biggest issue. Because I'm still not over the whole John Cena and him thing. Like, that was just bullshit. For real. I'm sorry.
Dude, you're going to enjoy this GTS. we went in on all this, man.
I love how great minds think alike. All right, yes, so my ugly, again, it's kind of quick and simple. I was really, really annoyed by the fact that Nia Jax went against a jobber.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell was that for? Like, there's nobody back there she could wrestle? Like, what is WWE's issue with using the roster, you know, to its full potential or doing something? You might as well just not have Nia do a match.
Then I also heard that the old girl was like 17.
Yeah, which isn't, like, people are making
it. Not a big deal, but right.
Yeah, no, I mean, they pull trainees, and if she passed the tests and, you know, they like what she did and, you know, took bumps, then that's good for her. But it's like, when that's the headline coming out of a match on Raw, that it was a 17-year-old girl who's a trainee, you know, at a local school, that's kind of whack. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's just, exactly. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's how you're going to use that? You could have had a triple threat match with Nia, Mickie James, and Sonya Deville or something. Like, there's so many different things you could have done. And maybe that would have been a cold little layer to add to the storyline, because you have Alexa Bliss come out, maybe, and then Nia's looking at her like, why are you with Mickey? Like, what the hell is this about? You see what I'm saying?
That was a clusterfuck, too. I mean, that was close to being my ugly. You know, I guess for Raw the Bad Ugly, that was close to being mine, because just the women division in general, like, what they're doing, besides what Asuka and Bayley did, I mean, there's no direction. Like,
yeah.
They run out of things to do.
Yeah, well, and part of it is not, I don't even know if it's running out of things to do as far as not trying logical things. Like, sometimes you could be too far outside the box. Like we said a million times on, you know, like our WrestleMania and Royal Rumble podcast where we were pissed off. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. It's not that hard. Nia Jax is a beast. I'm going to beat everybody's ass. Somebody's a little tough to beat up. There's her first challenger. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you throw in little tidbits from, you know, what's going on in the world, maybe in it, or do, you know, add a little bit. But for the most part, the foundation is there. But then they want to do weird shit. Like, Nia Jax has had competitive matches for the past how many weeks? And then we're just going to throw a jobber in there. Like, let's start over with the jobber shit.
No reason at all. I mean, they had a good, and then, like you said, they put like a little video package up for the match. Like, she's actually going to go against somebody. And she, you see across the ring, we have Jane Doe. I'm like, what? What?
It's like starting over. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it would have hurt for her to go against Mandy Rose or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, would that have been bad? Or, you know, like, I know she had the mixed match challenge, but, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, you could have done a triple threat match. Why not? Why couldn't you have done that? Well, there's just so many different ways you could, or just don't do the match and give that time to another man to ask him and Bayley or something. Don't do this. Not this.
And then they already said Nia to lose it. Not Fastlane, Elimination Chamber against Asuka. I mean, nobody's gonna beat Asuka right now.
Right. Right. But then again, they could do something weird like a DQ loss or something like that. Who knows? Yeah, I'm just saying, bro. I hate to throw that out there.
I mean, even though WWE would pull the swerve, remember Charlotte had like the undefeated record at the pay per view, and all of a sudden she just lost at a Fastlane. You like? That's a WrestleMania worthy loss. Like, why Fastlane?
Yeah, that's right. Wait, yeah. Anyway. Good point. All right, so I do have a quick let's talk wrestling. Usually, Sterling's got some juicy thing you want to talk about, but I got a real quick one. So we see 205 Live going this direction where Triple H is, you know, kind of taking the reins and he's going to kind of build it. The rumor is he stopped the tour. I know that. That's not a rumor. So they're not going to be touring. I think they're going to keep the dates that they already had, but they're not going to extend it. He's kind of X-ing out the whole idea of building characters behind the wrestlers in a sense of how Vince was doing. And he's going back to presenting it like they presented the Cruiserweight Classic. So with that being said, I'm just curious, kind of just want to know, do you think that Triple H can kind of save 205 Live and make it something special?
I got 3 letters for you. NXT. So, the fact that we remember how NXT started on the, was it Spike TV, whatever it was on? Like, I think it was one of those stations, I don't know. But it started on that channel and see what it is now. I definitely believe Triple H can save it. I mean, like I said, from the last 2 weeks, people have actually been watching it. And like I said, I just started to watch it myself just because I know what's the substance behind it with the tournament. Tournament ending at WrestleMania. I mean, it's a lot that can happen. And there's a lot of cruiserweights they can use, you know, to surprise in that tournament or whatnot. Because I think they say it's like, what, like 4 or 5 spots left open?
Yeah, and Mark Andrews is in it.
Yeah, and that's the guy from UK tournament, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, you have these guys. And also, I mean, I know I'm wishful thinking. Maybe we can squeeze Neville in there somewhere. You know, maybe, hey, if you give this. Maybe not maybe not win, but like do this for us, push you back to the main roster, and work it out. You never know. You know what I'm saying? You got people like that. Gargano, Ciampa, you know, Jay Field said something about they possibly make, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of room for improvement.
Well,
but like I said,
I don't know if you want a spoiler alert about NXT.
I do not, so don't worry.
Okay, damn. You know, I want to tell you something so bad.
Yeah.
I just wait.
Don't do it.
I
want a surprise factor.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of people who can come back and take those final spots, and like, but I definitely believe he can save it and make it more interesting. Because like I said, which I'm sounding repetitive, 2 weeks ago, people saying, "Hey, 205 Live is actually pretty good this week," and I'm hearing word of mouth that, like you said earlier, that your match to watch for and Jay Fields, the Dale versus Strong, which I was going to watch anyway once they announced it. So these are the type of things you do. And like I said, once they get away from the goofiness. Translated better on the Raw in these tag team matches all the time, it'll definitely make people want to watch it more.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you, man. I'm looking forward to see what he does, if it's like it's on brand, if he's going to blend in NXT because he's already, you know, using NXT people like Roddy, you know, like how is he going to use it? I wonder if somehow it becomes kind of like a 205 Live, maybe it's its own brand, but maybe it becomes kind of like NXT Live or something. You know what I mean? Like if maybe every week he brings up, you know, the important storylines from NXT and those guys travel and it's kind of like their reward down there. You know what I mean? Or anything. That'd be kind of dope. Have it at a completely different venue. I want to see what he does because, like you said, NXT, what he did with Florida Championship Wrestling, from what it was, not saying he worked Florida Championship Wrestling, but from taking Florida Championship Wrestling and then it becomes NXT and he's kind of working with Dusty on it and then it's his baby at that point. Yep. And then he made it into this thing and it's dope to see that. Granted, people have done it on the indies a million times, right? Uh-huh. And he's got the corporate machine behind him. But the thing that was dope about NXT that made us all love it is he wasn't blinded by what Vince's vision. It was like Triple H's vision, and you're seeing it, and you're like, that's the kind of wrestling we like. And it's like, oh, shit, somebody who gets it. What the hell is going on? So
that's basically what I was saying, though. He's the one. He's the one getting all this new talent coming over to NXT and 205 Live, so he knows exactly what these wrestlers are capable of. I think Vince is going based off, like, what's hot.
Right.
And, you know, he really is, what he's pushing out on 205 Live and pushing on Raw is basically, like, go out there and show your face. Like, don't do what you usually do. It got you here. You just want to put you out there because that's what people want to see you. But which, and Blind Side, like, we want to see them to the best of their ability. We just don't want to see Cedric Alexander out there in a tag match. We want to see Cedric Alexander exceeding what made y'all want to sign him in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
What we saw in the Cruiserweight Classic. So I think Triple H is better at capturing that because he's the one bringing that talent in. And Vince was more based on, like, put on a cape, put this on, and go out there and do this and all that type of stuff. So, I mean, once again, sound repetitive, but
nope.
I believe Triple H can save it, so.
I agree, man. I think it could happen. So I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to watch. I'm going to give it a chance. They surprised me with the Tommy and Roderick Strong match. So let's see where it goes. But
no doubt, I'm definitely probably going to watch that as soon as we get off this podcast.
Well, you don't have to wait long, sir, because I think that's all we got for this week. I appreciate you stepping in for Sterling. Still will be back next week, but it's always good to have a king in the house.
Okay, no doubt, man. Don't mind stepping in. Y'all step in for us when, you know, we absent, so.
It's all family. It's love. It's the wrestling roundtable. That's what we do. All right, so make sure you visit 1515 Ave. Check out all our podcasts. I would name them all, but I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have them up, but I think it's MWT Podcast, GTS, of course, Studio Flow, Equal Opposites. What am I forgetting?
Once again, you gonna let me get my stir along.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I got this, man.
Go ahead. I'm gonna sit back.
Check out all other content such as GTS, RBU, MWT, Lace Them Up, Mac and D Talk TV, The Rundown, Studio Flow, and Equal Opposites.
Dang, I should have just let him do it. Going
up.
Damn.
So make sure you buy something for your lovely lady or your you into, you know, do what you do. And yeah.
You killed that. Look, he told me, bro. Next time, I'm going to shut the hell up and let EJ do a stizzle. with that being said, it's your boy. It's Miller.
EJ the King.
And we out.
Peace.